Good morning. Welcome to the Forgotten Word. It's Friday morning, and we welcome you. Thank you for being with us. I want to talk a little bit today about pastors wanting to quit the ministry. I was reading some articles about this recently, and it's rather intriguing what people, some of the pastors go through and what they think and that type of stuff. And the article starts out with, unfortunately for me, Mark Driscoll calls them Red Truck Mondays. You probably heard me speak about Mark Driscoll and some of his teachings recently. He says, a Sunday that was so difficult or draining that the day after makes a pastor wish he were anything but a pastor, even the driver of a bread truck. Now, not every pastor wants to quit all the time, but from time to time, discouragement sets in, and often it's hard for pastors to find a safe, anonymous place to talk about it. This guy here, John McIntosh, did a little small survey of friends in the ministry, and he asked them in a little poll, what recently has made you want to quit? So here he says, these are their top responses. Number one, to protect my family. Sometimes a pastor's family will sacrifice in ways that make the pastor want to give it up for an easier or, frankly, more lucrative job. One pastor, discouraged by his young church's inability to pay him for a decent salary, responded that he feels like he is being a terrible provider. Another friend, who has moved into a difficult neighborhood to be an incarnational presence there, cited drug dealers in his neighborhood as a reason he wanted to quit. Difficult days can make you question your call to take the gospel to the hard places. Number two was criticism. Often, pastors feel attacked on all sides. One friend of mine replied to my question with simply the word sinful criticism, which he later described as criticism that is nitpicky and comes from a consumeristic church culture. Number three was the hard work of shepherding. One church planner, it was the difficult realization that after you launch the church, you have to actually pastor people. His response, coming to the reality, we just can't make cool websites, network in the community, and launch a church. We actually have to do the hard work of shepherding. And I suppose that's a little tough on him, I guess. Number four, some of the time, the issue is simply that entrepreneurial church planning pastors have a hard time staying in one place for a very long time. Restlessness and feeling a desire for another city was one pastor's response to my question. Number five, coveting others' gifts. Even though only a small percentage of the churches in the world see rapid numeric growth, it is these stories of fast-growing churches that get promoted the most in the church world. Add to this, because of the connectivity of the internet, that everyone has access to the most gifted preachers and teachers around. One teacher named his struggle for what it is, coveting others, gifts, leadership, and fruitfulness. If you are a normal pastor of a normal church, this can lead to great discouragement. It can cause you to question if you alone are struggling with difficult people or a difficult context. One pastor responded ironically via Twitter to my question on what's made him want to quit recently. He said, Twitter. Following people who always seem to have the momentum and success and few struggles. Seriously, it has gotten to me. Excuse me. Lack of change. Stagnation in the church that won't change gets me down a lot, was one pastor's response to my question. The single most discouraging issue for pastors is a sense that things in the church are not changing or progressing. One pastor cited a lack of change, doing the same things the same ways without vision for the why behind it all. Pastors are pouring out their lives in order to see transformation, change in people, a neighborhood, or an entire city. When things seem stuck, it can feel like it's time to throw in the towel. One pastor described it as a lack of mission, feeling as if we're just spinning our wheels, spiritual apathy among leaders who were with us. And then there's some comments on some of this stuff. Some of them good, some of them just weird, but being of the old school, I think maybe the problem with some of these pastors, after reading their responses, I think some of the problem is that some of these men that responded maybe were not called by God to the ministry. They were called by other people, and I've talked about this before, how they go to ministry because somebody said you'd make a good preacher, or my dad was a preacher, my grandpa was a preacher, my uncle was a preacher, whatever the case might be, but they did it at the call of someone besides God. And if God did not call you to the ministry, you're not going to be comfortable. You're not going to be successful in the ways of the Lord. Now, you may raise up a big church and have, you know, 40, 50,000 people attend your church, but I do not believe that you're going to be preaching the word of God the way God wants you to. And that's in evidence all over this country. There's a ton of mega churches out there that are just compromising churches. One guy wrote in response to this article, they had some comments, and one gentleman said, "I am not a pastor, but an administrator, and have taught youth for many years. I have served under pastors that are incredible examples of God and those who throw you under the bus. I may not completely understand all the dynamics of what you feel, but I do know this. We are in a day of luxury. We don't suffer like that of Joseph, Peter, and Paul. The way they had to travel and the beatings they took, our job really is quite easy in comparison. We don't sacrifice like any of the saints of old, and nothing close to our Lord and Savior, yet we complain as though we do. Our pride gets scuffed, our feelings get hurt, and oftentimes our own priorities or lack of them keep us from advancing the cause. We must always remember we do the work because we love Christ, not for any other reason. Knowing this and living it tends to help shrink the impact of the scoffers and those whom we find troublesome, and even those who have ill intent to do their to their own agendas. Scripture says, praise him in all things, not let's join in misery together. Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. In other words, do it because you love me, Peter, even though you know it's going to be hard. Without you, all the work stops. Jesus just continues to say, do you love me? Feed my sheep. This is an expression of how Jesus loves you, appreciates what you endure, and desires for you to continue till he comes. And I really, truly believe that's the answer right there. The man hit the nail on the head. You're supposed to be preaching for God. It's like, you know, look at it from an earthly perspective of God's your employer and you're the employee. Go out and do your job. Now, there's more to it, of course, but that's a concept that some of these people fail to understand. They believe, they get to a point where they think that they're the one in charge and they don't like what's happening, so they just change. I don't understand. If someone's called of God, you should be doing God's will, irregardless of what's going on. I do not adhere to preachers who, number one, if you're called by God, I believe you're called by God for life. I know there's going to come a time physically in every person's body where they cannot perform the way they used to. They can't physically handle the duties of pastoring full time like they used to. But I do believe that there's something that they should be doing. I know there's a lot they could be doing, but there's something they should be doing. If you're called by God, it's a life choice. till you die, you continue to spread the gospel. Just like you read about with the old saints of yesteryear, you know. Paul and Peter and John and Mark and all them, they didn't just preach for a little while and then go retire. They preached until they died, some of them very, very horrible deaths. But they continued to the very end because that's what they were supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do, preacher, if you're called by God. If you truly are called by God, you know this is the way. And when you get old enough to where you can't handle full-time ministry, then you find part-time ministry in some other way. But do not stop spreading the gospel. You should be at a point in your life where it is a joy to share the word of God with anybody and everybody. If you're not at that point in your ministry and in your pastoralship, you have a major problem. And I think that's what we're seeing here. How any preacher can say that, his main reason is coveting others' gifts. What kind of a true man of God, thinks that way? I don't believe they do. The one pastor named his struggle for what it is, coveting others' gifts, leadership, and fruitfulness. Jealousy. And then another one says, if you are a normal pastor of a normal church, this can lead to great discouragement. It can cause you to question if you alone are struggling with difficult people or a difficult context. How in God's name can you say if you're a normal pastor of a normal church? Well, you could, evidently, it seems like this guy's saying if you're at a small church leading a small congregation doing the best you can and you don't have the big mega church, something's wrong. That is, again, a form of, it's jealousy and covetousness. It's terrible. These people that answered these questions, I pray that they think back on what they said and realize that the true calling of God is a marvelous undertaking. And it's a life choice. It's not something you just do because it's a job. I don't make the money. I don't make the money that I need to make. What kind of nonsense is that? I don't make enough money. Give me more money. Give me this. Give me that. Well, I have to ask that question. Who are they relying on then? Are they relying on God to fulfill their needs? Or are they relying on themselves? And evidently, they're relying on themselves, and that's why they're failing. The Bible makes it very clear. The Lord will provide if you are in the will of the Lord. If you're walking within the will of the Lord, He will provide for you. But you step out of that walk with the Lord and start counting on yourself, and you're going to find out that you're failing. So, pastors, I want anybody out there listening to me, if you're struggling with these thoughts and these feelings about giving up on the ministry, you call, you talk to me, you email me, whatever you need to do, but you get a hold of me and you'll sit and talk and we'll be in love and I'll help you. I'll help you to understand that there is a future. There's a joy. There's a marvelous, marvelous joy in doing what you should be doing for the Lord. And there'll be no room for this jealousy and this covetousness. And God loves you. And He'll make you what He wants you to be. Don't give in. If you're called to God to preach, you stand up and you preach. And you take joy in knowing that you've done the best you can every time. There'll be good days, there'll be bad days. But the good days will outweigh the bad days. Think about this. Pray about this, folks. You guys pray for these pastors, okay? Pray for them all day. God bless you. See you Monday. We pray these programs have been a blessing to you and they've taught you something. We feel that, we're trying hard to do what the Lord has led us to do. And we pray that and hope and pray that it has been accomplished in these programs. If you have any questions, any prayer requests or would like to, comment on the programs or send any donations to the ministry, please write us at Forgotten Word Ministries, P.O. Box 315, Camp Point, Illinois, 62320. That's Camp Point, C-A-M-P-P-O-I-N-T, two different words, Illinois, 6-2-3-2-0. God bless you.